Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurra. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Got a great story for you this morning. It's another one to Mark. This is another one of those to highlight in your Bible if it's not already highlighted. And there's a couple of verses then to underline, and I'll point those out in a few minutes. It's from the 14th chapter of the Old Testament book of Exodus. I'm beginning with the 10th verse here. This God's word for us today. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were in great fear. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be still." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." The word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, life is precarious, isn't it? Life is uncertain. A few days before Amy and I left to go to Lubbock, Texas to celebrate their anniversary, I listened, as did you, the news of that shooting, that massacre in Las Vegas. And I emailed you about that. How in the world? I mean, here we are again. How does that happen again? It just keeps happening. And I found my heart broken, and I was frustrated, and I was angry, and I wanted to do something, and you don't know what to do. Amy and I go to Lubbock, and we got back and discovered that there had been a shooting there. Texas Tech University. It was just actually down the street from where we were staying over the weekend last weekend. How does that keep happening in this great country? How does that keep happening to us? And then I've watched the news, as you have, hurricane after hurricane after hurricane, lives upended, destroyed. Houston, Florida, Puerto Rico, and then fires in California. Yeah, it's just, life is precarious, isn't it? And it's uncertain. I mean, you just never know. And because of that, I think it's really important for folks like you and me to know that God has us in the palm of His hands. I just think it's important to know that. I think it's important to be reminded of that. I don't have any answers of the whys. I don't have an answer of why these shootings keep happening. That's not what we're talking about this morning. What I want to say, I want to talk about one thing this morning, one thing. I want to talk about remembering that in the midst of life, wherever life takes us, that God has us in the palm of His hands. That's what I want to talk about this morning, because I think it's important to remember that. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that God is holding you. Don't ever forget that God has us in the palms of His hands, and He will hold us up. I think that's what our story's saying this morning. This is a whale of a story. When I was a little boy growing up, this was one of my two favorite stories in the Bible. When I was a little fella, before I could read, my parents had a picture Bible, and I would sit down at times, and I would go through. It was one of those great big Bibles, you know, and had pictures in it. It had the words in it, but it had pictures in it. I couldn't read the words, but I could look at the pictures. And my two favorite stories in the Bible were both in the Old Testament. One was David and Goliath. I can still remember seeing that pic. David and Goliath. Here's what I thought. There was fighting. There was fighting in the Bible. I was all in. It had me hooked. It was right there. Fighting in the Bible. Hey, I'm ready for it. And the other one was this story. I can close my eyes and see that picture. It was a picture of walls. There was a wall of water over here, and there was a wall of water over here, and there was this path. You've probably seen that picture too. There was a path. There was a path in between those two walls of water, and the Israelites were walking down that path. And I want to tell you, as a little fellow, I was just fascinated. I was fascinated. I didn't understand the story, but I was fascinated by that story. You heard about the little 8-year-old boy who was in church, like many of your children today. He was in Sunday school and church, and after church that day, on their way home, he was just so excited about what had happened in Sunday school. And of course, his parents were excited that he was excited about what was going on in Sunday school. They said, well, tell us all about it. He said, we learned about Moses in the Red Sea this morning. They said, oh, you did? Well, tell us what happened. He said, oh, man, he said, it was cool. He said, Moses got the people together. They were tired. People were tired. They were fed up, he said. They were fed up with Moses. Fed up with Pharaoh. They were fed up with Pharaoh. And they were fed up with having to do all of Pharaoh's work. They were fed up with having to make all those bricks out of straw. They were tired of it. They were fed up with brick by brick. It had been 20 years since they had won a Southeastern Conference championship. And wait a minute, I got my stories mixed up. No, they were fed up with brick by brick. They were fed up with brick by brick. They were fed up with having to make all these bricks. And he said, so they went to Moses and they said, we want to bust out of here. And so Moses got them all together in a resistance group. And he got them all together, and then they met. And one night, when it was real dark, they put on their night vision goggles. And then they went around and they gathered up all the tanks that they could find and all the jeeps that they could find. And they started making their escape. The parents said, oh, really? He said, oh yeah. He said, it was awesome. He said, but Pharaoh changed his mind. Pharaoh had said he was going to let them go, but Pharaoh changed his mind. So he started tracking them down on color radar. And when he found them, he started showering them with missiles, and he started shooting at them from jet fighter planes. But Moses and the Israelites, they didn't give up. They just kept on going. They kept on going, and they kept on going. And then he said they got to the Red Sea. And the parents said, well, what happened? He said, well, there was a Red Sea in front of them, and there was Pharaoh's army coming up behind them. And he said, it looked like it was over, but he said, that's the best part of the story. And they said, well, tell us all about it. He said, Moses went to the Army Corps of Engineers, and he got them to build a pontoon bridge. And they built this pontoon bridge that stretched all the way across the Red Sea. And Moses got and led them all the way across that pontoon bridge, all the way across the Red Sea. And he said, and as they were going, they were smart enough that they planted sticks of dynamite on the way, at intervals along the way. And when they got across, when Pharaoh's army started coming across, they blew up those sticks of dynamite and they killed all of Pharaoh's army. He said, it was awesome. It was awesome. And his parents looked at him and he said, is that that's the way they told you that story in Sunday school? And the little boy looked at him and he said, well, no, not exactly. But, he said, if I told it to you the way they told it to me, you'd never believe it. There's a lot of people that don't believe this story. You know that? There are people that don't believe this story. This is an awesome story. This is an incredible story. You go back, here's one of the reasons why it's still one of my favorites. The reason it's still one of my favorites, I think when you get right down to it, this is a story about being trapped. And what we can do when we feel trapped. Because that's where these folks were. They were trapped. Imagine what it would be like to spend your whole life as somebody's servant. Your whole life as a slave. That's where they were. There's some of these folks, their entire life, all they had known was slavery and servanthood. That's all they knew. They had lived in bondage their whole life. And then one day, there's a leader comes and says, you know what, we're gonna get out of this. There was the promise of a new day. There was a promise of something different, a new life. Can you imagine what that would be like? If there was going to be a day, finally, when they were going to get out of slavery, when they were going to get out of bondage. And no sooner had they made their escape. Imagine what they felt. Imagine what they felt as they were making their way out of bondage and slavery in Egypt. The feelings that they had of being free. No sooner than they had, but they become free. They look up one day and there's the Red Sea in front of them. You know what that is? The Red Sea in front of them. You know what that is? That's death. That's death of a dream. Have you ever had a dream of this is the way your life was going to be? You ever had that? But you know, you got it all planned out. This is the way my life's going to be. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and then this. And you look up one day, and your life is nothing the way you dreamed it. Has that ever happened to you? Your life, it's nothing the way you thought that it was going to be. That's the Red Sea in front of you. It's death. It's the death of a dream. It was the death of their dream. They looked behind them. There was Pharaoh's army coming behind them. You know what that was? It was death. It was death of a dream. It was over. And they felt trapped. Have you ever felt trapped? I bet you have. I bet some of you have. You know what it's like to feel trapped. I know there are people that feel trapped in a job. Do you know that? I bet some of you have been at times been felt trapped in a job. The only reason you stay there is because the money was good. You were miserable. I know people that are miserable, but they're trapped. I know people that I've counseled with more than I like to imagine, who are trapped in a relationship and they feel they can't get out of it. They just feel they just can't get out of it. And they're trapped. It's nothing like what they thought life was going to be, and they're trapped. I know people that are trapped by a circumstance, a challenge of life. It's come. It's not anything that they wanted. Sometimes it's a sickness, an illness of somebody that they love. Sometimes it's the death of a person they love more than life itself. And when it happens, they feel trapped. Man, listen, I'm going to tell you, if you've ever felt that way, then I'm going to tell you, this is the story. This is the one you need to mark. Are you with me? This is the one you need to mark. Because this is a story about people who were trapped. Death was in front of them. Death was behind them. And I want you to listen to what Moses said to them in the midst of that. These are the two verses you need to mark. You can highlight the whole deal. Mark these two verses. The first one is verse 13. And Moses said to the people, this is with the Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh's army coming up behind them. Moses said to the people, fear not, Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Stand firm and see what God is going to do for you today. See what God is going to do for you today. And then the third thing he said is in the 15th verse. That's the other place you need to underline. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." Those three things when we feel trapped. The first thing Moses said was, "Fear not, don't be afraid." Just, well, don't be afraid. I got a feeling that that was met with some degree of skepticism. How about you? You got the Red Sea in front of you. You got Pharaoh's mighty army coming up behind you. And Moses said, "Hey, look, don't be afraid. I just got a funny feeling." How about you? I got a feeling that was met with some degree of skepticism. You ever been afraid? Sure you have. We've all been afraid. You know, fear can sometimes be a good thing, can't it? Fear can sometimes motivate us to do what it is that we need to do. But fear can also get us in trouble. Did you know that? There's a fine line between not being afraid, though. Fine line between not being afraid, being courageous, and being stupid. Are you with me? There's a fine line. It was a guy who died and went to heaven. And he's standing at the pearly gates. St. Peter's interviewing him. And St. Peter says, "Can you tell me one thing that you did of merit? Can you tell me one thing that you did that you thought was a good thing?" And the guy thought about it a minute. He said, "Well, yeah, I can think of one thing." St. Peter said, "Well, let me hear it." He said, "Well, I pulled into this truck stop restaurant. I was hungry one day, and I drove by this truck stop. I heard the food was good there. I pulled in there to eat, and he said there was a motorcycle gang was there. And the leader of that motorcycle gang, big guy, he said, this was a big old guy, muscles bulging everywhere. And he was mistreating this young lady. He was talking ugly to her. It looked like he was going to get physical with her. And he said, I stepped in front of her." St. Peter said, "Get out." He said, "No, I did." He said, "I stepped right in between, and I put my finger in that guy's face, and I said, 'Listen to me.'" He said, you stop treating this young lady that way. She doesn't deserve to be treated that way." And the leader of the gang said, "Oh, yeah, so what are you going to do about it?" And he said, "So I walked over to his motorcycle and I just kicked it over. I just kicked his motorcycle over. Right there in the parking lot, I just kicked it over." He said, "And then I walked back over to him and I smacked him upside the head with my right and I jabbed him in the nose with my left." He said, "And then I reached up." He had an earring in his ear, and I reached up and I grabbed that earring and I just yanked it out of his ear. And I said, "That's what I'm going to do about it. And I'm going to do more than that if you don't stop. I'm going to do more than that if you don't stop." And St. Peter was just amazed. He said, that's incredible. He said, "When did this happen?" And the guy said, "Oh, a couple of minutes ago." See, there's a fine line, isn't there? There's a fine line between being courageous and being foolish. Listen, sometimes fear... Listen to me. Sometimes fear is the emotion that can keep us from crossing that line. But, Moses this morning says, "Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid." What's he saying? Did you know that the Bible is full of that? Are you aware that fear not, that command, fear not, is the most repeated command in the entire Scriptures? Are you aware of that? Fear not is repeated more times, said more times in the Scriptures than any other commandment. It is repeated 366 times. Are you aware of that? One for every day of the year plus one, just in case, you know, you happen to forget. There's a commandment for you to not be afraid. Listen to this, and I find this amazing. I think this is really amazing. When Jesus was born, do you remember what the angel said? When Jesus was born, what did the angel say? "Fear not. For behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Don't be afraid. Now get a load of this. When Jesus was crucified and he died, and they buried him in the tomb, and the women went to the tomb to take care of his body, there was an angel in the tomb. Do you remember what the angel said? The angel said, "Don't be afraid. He's not here. He's risen." The life of our Savior was bracketed by those words, "Don't be afraid." His life on this earth began with, "Don't be afraid." His new resurrection life began with, "Don't be afraid." "Don't be afraid" is the commandment that's repeated more than any other commandment in the whole scriptures, 366 times. Answer me this. Do you think that just maybe God has something that he wants us to hear? I think he does. I think God wants us to live our lives free from fear. Because God knows that fear can absolutely control us. Are you following me? Sure, there are times that fear can motivate us to do what needs to be done. Sometimes fear can keep us out of trouble. But fear is an emotion that can control our lives. I think that's the reason Moses was telling them, "Listen, don't be afraid," because fear can control us. Fear can cause us to lose our focus of what it is that God is wanting us to do and where it is that God is wanting us to be. And who it is that God is wanting us to be in our own individual lives. Fear can cause us to divide ourselves. Fear does that all the time. Fear calls us to divide ourselves among those who are not like us. It happens all the time. Fear causes divisiveness in the midst of God's children. Listen to me. Listen to this now. Fear is coming to our city. Did you know that? Fear is coming to the city that you and I love. Fear is going to walk into this town in a little less than 2 weeks and march downtown. That's fear. That's fear. Some people say that's a hate group, this white supremacy, that's a hate group. Yes, there's hatred, but hatred is a symptom of something much deeper, something much stronger, and something much more profound. You know what that is? Fear. You know what the opposite of love is? You know what everybody says, the opposite of love? You ask a little child, what's the opposite of love? What are we going to say? Hate. No. The opposite of love is fear. Fear produces hate. And what happens to people, and it's amazing, is that people become afraid of whatever is different. What looks different, what acts different, it's unfortunate. And fear's coming to our town. Fear's coming to our town because that's what fear does. It divides. It divides what God wants to be together. Here's the other thing that fear does. Fear causes folks to find fault and falsely condemn. Look, this is exactly what's happening in our lesson this morning. Remember, here's Moses. Moses has led them out of bondage. He's led them out of slavery. They get out. Here's the first obstacle. Now, I want you to understand that. Here's the first challenge. Go back to our lesson. Let's read it again together. Verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were in great fear. Now, what did they do after they were in great fear? Well, the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because that there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Isn't this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Did you catch that? They turned to Moses and they said, "Isn't this what we said to you? Just leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." No, that's not what they said. They didn't say anything close to that. You know what they said? They said, "Get us out of here." That's what they said. And when Moses got them out of there, let me tell you something. They were thrilled with Moses. They were dancing. They were celebrating. Hey, they were cheering. Moses, Moses, he's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. Listen, they were all over Moses. They were all over Moses. Why? Because Moses had led them to the possibility of new life. Things were going to be different. It was a different day, and people were excited about this different day. They were excited about, hey, it's a new day, and there's new life. And they were excited about that. Until when? Until the first challenge. First challenge. Red Sea's in front of them. Pharaoh's army's behind them. What did they want to do? Hey, we didn't want this. We want to go back there and make bricks. That's what we want to do. We should want to go back there and make bricks. That's what fear does, my friends. Fear is one of the most powerful emotions that we have. It will cause us to do things that we would never dream of doing. It causes us to lose our focus. It causes us to divide ourselves, and it causes folks to find fault and falsely condemn even those that they love. That's why Moses said, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't forget. Don't forget what God has done for you. Well, how is it then that they could live without being afraid? Well, that's the second thing. Fear not, stand firm. And what's he talking about when he says stand firm? Is he talking about digging in their heels? No. Stand firm on what? Stand firm on your faith. Don't be afraid. Stand firm on your faith. And get the next part. And see what the Lord will do for you today. Stand firm on your faith and see what God is going to do for you today. You see, what had happened is they had forgotten their faith. God had been leading them. God had already just led them through the plagues, remember? And then God led them through the most powerful plague, the plague of death, and he had delivered them through that. And so what happens is their fear had caused them to forget that God had been with them and that God would be with them again. And so Moses is saying, listen, keep your faith. Stand firm on your faith. See what God is going to do for you right now. See what God is going to do, this new thing that God is going to do for you today. Here's the deal. What do we have to have in order to stand firm on our faith? What have you got to have to stand firm on your faith? You got to have faith. You got to have a faith to stand firm on. I think one of the most tragic things that I've experienced in my ministry through these 35 years is watching people come to the hard times of life and they don't have a faith to stand on. And they don't have a faith to stand on because they've not developed a faith to stand on. That's why this time is so important. You know what we're doing in worship? We're developing our faith to stand on. You know why Bible study is so important? It's because we're asking the hard questions. We ask hard questions in our Wednesday Bible study. You know why? It's so that we'll be ready for them when they happen. You know, I hear this all the time. You've heard it too. People say it's never too late. You heard that? It's never too late? I mean, people say that all the time. Well, but it's never too late. Listen to me. That's stupid. Because it's too late. There are times it's too late. I've watched it. I've watched it in my own ministry. You remember the little story of Jesus told about the wise man who built his house on the rock and the foolish man who built his house on sand? Listen, I've watched people. The storms of life come, their house is floating down the river, and they're trying to shove a foundation under it. And it's too late. I understand. You understand what I'm saying. I understand fully well that they can then develop a faith after that. I understand that. But at that moment, at that time, and I've watched it. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. Let's not let that happen to this church. Listen to what Moses is saying. He's saying, don't be afraid. How can we not be afraid? Because we've got a faith in God that we can stand on, that this God is going to take us through. But you got to build that faith. You got to have your own faith. You can't borrow somebody else's. You got to have your own faith. And here's the last thing he says, go forward. Fear not. Stand firm on your faith. Now it's time to go forward. It's hard to go forward sometimes, isn't it? Have you discovered that? Sometimes it's hard to go forward. One of the reasons that I find that it's hard to go forward is uncertainty. Uncertainty makes it hard to go forward sometimes. There are times I wish that I had a crystal ball, don't you? So that when I make the decisions I make, that I can know and I can see, wait a minute, what, you know, where's that gonna take me? Yeah. Going forward, it's difficult because it's filled with uncertainty. Going forward is difficult because it means taking risks. Going forward is difficult because it means doing things differently. You have to do things differently to go forward. You can't keep doing the same thing all the time. Going forward is difficult because it means change. And here's another thing that's tragic. Some people can never, ever cross the sea. They just can't do it. You know why? Because they're not willing to face the uncertainty, to take the risk, to do things differently, to make the changes that are necessary. And I've watched it happen time and time and time again in my ministry. But you know what else going forward produces? It produces new life. Going forward produces new life. If we'll be willing to not be afraid, if we'll be willing to stand on our faith and take that first step forward, that's where new life is. How can we do that? Well, we do it by remembering that God is with us every step that we take. Even though that we don't know exactly what's out there, we know who is already there. God is already ahead of us. It's in the 13th chapter at the very end. This is how the Bible tells us. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night in the presence of God. God is with us. That's how we're able to go forward. I've had for years a story in my files. It's an old, old story. It's a story about a family. They were living out in the country. It was back before, it's an old story, back before indoor plumbing. And the father asked the son to go out to the well to get some water. It was nighttime. It was dark. You've been out in the country when it's dark? Don't you love dark out in the country? When it's dark out in the country, it's dark. I mean, you can't see your hand in front of your face when out in the country. And this little boy was afraid. He didn't tell the father he was afraid, but the dad knew that he was afraid. And so the dad went and he got a lantern and he lit the lantern and he handed it to the son and he said, "Son, just walk in the light of the lantern. That's all you got to do. Just walk in the light of the lantern." And the little boy held that lantern up, and there was a circle of light around him that went out several feet. But out further than several feet, it was still dark. I mean, like, it was pitch black dark. It was like daytime here, and it was pitch black dark out there. And the little boy turned to his dad, and he said, "But Papa, it's still dark out there." And his father looked at him, and he said, "Yeah, but you just keep walking till you get to the edge of your light. Just keep walking till you get to the edge." You know what happened. The little boy took the first step, and then the second step, and then the third step, and then the 10th step, and then the 20th step. You know what happened? With every step, the light went with him. And he never came to the edge. He never came to the edge, because with each step, the light went with him. Listen. We live in precarious times. We live in times of uncertainty. We live in times of challenge. Here's what I want you to know. God has you in His hands. Do you believe that this morning? God has you in His hands. Wherever you are, whatever it is that you're dealing with, I want you to hear that this morning. You don't have to be afraid. Stand firm on your faith and keep going forward. You remember the announcement that Bill Reed made a few moments ago about our pledge campaign? You know what happens in churches? We get afraid. You know why we get afraid? Because we don't really trust God. I'm not talking about you guys, okay? I'm talking about other churches I pastor. You know what happens? People get afraid. You know why? Because their trust is in their bank account. That's what so many people trust today. We say we trust Jesus. Trust is in my bank account. Trust is in my stock portfolio. I want to tell you something. Storms of life come your way. None of that's going to hold you up. None of that's going to hold you up. You know what holds this church back? It's fear of what will happen if I do more. And I'm going to tell you, stand firm on your faith. And friends, let's go forward. Let's go forward trusting God into the new day that God has in store for you and me. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.